Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Read for the reading of the word, Acts chapter 13, verse 22 and verse 36. And we're starting a brand new series today. And this series should encourage everybody in the house, everybody that is watching online, everyone should be encouraged by this series because the end of David's life, he is spoken of as an amazing person. But the middle of his life gets a little dicey. He does some things that are crazy, some things that we would be ashamed of, but he makes a great comeback. And so I want to encourage anybody who's in the middle of a mess, just keep moving. Don't stop. Just keep moving. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 in the King James Version reads like this. And when he had removed him, him being Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, the same chapter, verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid unto his fathers, and saw his physical body, saw corruption. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, King of Hearts. David, the man after God's own heart. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's a heart issue. You better get it right. Amen. You may be seated. The story of David is better than any soap opera you will ever watch. Some of you don't watch soap operas, you watch novellas. Better than any novella you would ever watch. If you want action, just check out David versus Goliath. If you want a love triangle, check out David, Bathsheba, and her husband Uriah. If you like Mari Povich, shame on you. We'll have a special place in the altar in just a moment. If you like Mari Povich, check out when David tried to cover up Bathsheba's pregnancy by having her sleep with her very own husband. If you like shows like Criminal Minds, CSI, Law and Order, check out David's plan, his premeditated plan to kill Uriah to cover David's sin. And if you like reality TV, check out David's relationship with his third son, Absalom. David lived an up and down life. David, and we can draw from David's life and the premise of David's life that even though that life can be a roller coaster, as long as you are serving God, and as long as you are having God thoughts, and as long as you are a praiser and a worshiper, you can get through anything. As long as Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts, and as long as Jesus has been made Savior, and then every day we make him our Lord or are finding ways to make him our Lord, we can get through anything. When you read the story of David, it is hard to fathom that God would call him a man after my own heart. But if I could take you back to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. We always read this as an epitaph to David's life, but this is not an epitaph. This is simply reintroducing the original thought in 1 Samuel 16 when God rejected Saul. So this is not David's obituary. This is the beginning. Before David had ever been anointed, before David had ever come onto the scene, before they ever sang the song, Saul has slayed his thousands and David has slayed his 10,000s. Before Goliath had ever fallen, before the lion and bear had been killed and mauled by the very hands of David, God said after David, this is a man after my own heart. The very reason that David was chosen to be king, the very reason that he was anointed to be king, was because God could depend on the heart of David. Which makes his story even greater when you realize that this is what God said before his anointing instead of after, because it's easy to say that after David has made his comeback. But I love God because God speaks to David's future. God speaks to what he knows David is going to be. God does not call David by his mistakes. He calls him by his future. And I want to encourage you today, you're going to make some mistakes because we are flesh. You're going to fall. You might even fall into sin. You might even jump into sin. But I have come to tell you that Jesus has made a better way. That Jesus will pick you up out of the mess. Jesus will clean you up. Jesus will give you a rock to stand on. And I want to encourage you that right now, in the middle of your mess, God is calling you by your tomorrow. God is calling you by your purpose. God is calling you by your destiny. God is calling you by your creative purpose. When you read the story of David, it's hard to believe that God calls him a man after my own heart, because God does not call us by the middle. God does not call us by the mess. He calls us by what he has created us to be. However, we have to remember that the indiscretions that David had, we would not call them little. We would call them big or major. An affair and a premeditated murder to top the list. However, remember that sin is sin. And I think that one of the things that we get wrong in the church is we like to talk about three or four of the top sins, but realize there is no top sin and bottom sin. There is no top 10 sins that you should not commit, because at the end of the day, even though the Bible lists some sins as abomination, sin is simply anything that severs our relationship with God. Sin is anything that takes your eyes off of Jesus and puts them anywhere else. Sin is anything that would rob you of a lifestyle of worship and get your eyes and get your mind and get your hands on the things of this world. Romans 3:23 says in the King James Version, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." One of the things that I think that we forget, and it's why our world is spiraling out of control, is we have to realize that we live in a fallen world with imperfect people. We live in a fallen world with imperfect people who have fallen short of God's glory and tend to stay short of God's glory. But I'm glad I'm at Living Way today, because most people here today, we didn't stay short of God's glory. We allowed God's grace to clean us up. We got up, even though we fell 7 times, we got up 8 times. We didn't allow yesterday's mess up to mess us up today and in the future. And I'm talking about somebody that still has alcohol on your breath from last night. I'm talking about somebody who hadn't cleared their web history and what you were browsing not 12 hours ago, and tell you this: no matter what you have done, God has made a way of escape and a way for you to get back to Jesus. And that way is the cross. And one thing I love about David, as heinous as his sin was, many decisions, some of them premeditated, so it wasn't a mistake, it was a decision and a choice. But every moment David got up and he said, 7 times a day will I praise him. Can I encourage you? You can't keep a praiser down. You can't keep a worshiper down. You might have made mistakes, but God's got you on the comeback trail. God calls you by what he's created you to be. You are a woman after God's own heart. You are a man after God's own heart. You are the righteousness of God. You are the apple of his eye. It doesn't matter what you've done. When you repent and turn around, God shows up in the middle of it all. All have sinned. Don't despise someone because they sin differently than you. Don't write off people because they made a mistake. I remember a few years ago I wrote off one of the politicians that was actually held office, and he had gotten caught sexting and texting inappropriate pictures and emails to one of their interns. And I thought, man, that person is not fit for office. He should resign right this moment. And God said, you're talking about someone who holds an office of a country. He said, King David did worse. And I used him. The difference is King David came to the realization that I've made a mistake, and I'm going to get on my comeback trail. And I might be far away, but I'm going to get closer today than I was yesterday. I'm going to ask God to come in and to remove that iniquity. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask God things like, purge, come on, my heart, God. Make sure there is nothing left that is not of you. When was the last time that you prayed to God to purge you instead of bless you? Come on. Sometimes there's a blessing in the purging process. Sometimes it's not about asking God to give you something new. It's about asking God to take something out of you that is old to make room for something that is new. Oh, I knew it'd get a little quiet there on a Sunday morning preaching about sin. Am I in the right place today? Don't you know that sin separates you, but all forgiveness brings you closer. Repentance is one of the greatest things you can have, and no matter what you do, you are always one act of forgiveness away from coming all the way back. We talk about David and give him a 5-star recommendation. As a king and as a person, he's referred to as the Prince of Praise by preachers. Other than Jesus and the Apostle Paul, he is the most quoted person in the Bible. Why do we give David a pass? Why do we give David grace that we do not give anyone else? Why do we give David grace that we don't give ourselves? I don't want to give anybody a license to sin, because grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to live the life that God died to give you. Let me say that again. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to live the life that God died to give us. And so when you make a mistake, can I encourage you, don't wallow in your mistake. Don't stay down. Get up as quick as you can. Have you ever tripped? Has anybody ever fallen in public? You don't just lay there. Hopefully, maybe you do. Don't just lay there. You get up. I'm going to tell one on myself. I have flipped over backwards twice in my office out of my office chair. Completely head over heels. I got news for you, Living Way. Brandon's not built for flipping head over heels. At no point in my life have I ever been built, let alone 38 at 255 pounds. I'm the only one in my office. I don't lay there and say, oh, my goodness. I jump up and I start looking out the window. Did anyone see that? I look at the doors. Did anyone see that? I get up as quick as I can. Let me just tell you, if you live long enough, you're going to make some mistakes. If you live long enough, you might even sin, but don't stay in it. Don't stay in the pig pen any longer than you have to stay. Be surprised that you showed up there, and then get out of there as quick as you can. I remember I was dating a girl, and we were walking through North Star Mall, and when we got to that little place in North Star Mall on the first floor where it makes that little jog around, there's a crowd of people there, and as we got closer, I said, what's going on? And she says, I think someone fell. When we broke through the crowd, we found out that it was her mom. And instead of helping her mother up, she said, come on, let's go. This is so embarrassing. I didn't marry that one. I married that one. There should have been a bigger applause. If you knew the one I was talking about, you'd be applauding a lot right now. But see, that's how we are. Some of us want to stay down, and then some of us lose the people we thought close to us because nobody wants to be connected to somebody that's down. If you want to stay down, stay down. But you can't expect me to stay around if you choose to stay down. I'm going to help you up. If you fall down, I'm going to help you up. If I fall down, I expect you to help me up. Come on. David needed somebody, and David had that somebody so that he could become the king of hearts and a man after God's own heart. David had those people in his life that said, hey, David, if I'm going to be in your life, I'm not going to allow you to stay down. We have romanticized the term mentor and accountability, but I have found out in the 20 years of my adult life that everybody loves the idea of accountability until you hold them accountable. Everybody loves the idea of having a mentor until they start mentoring you. See, accountability and mentor is not someone stroking your ego telling you how awesome you are. Mentor and accountability is saying, hey, you're doing that wrong, taking you back by the back of your neck and getting you back in line, snapping you back into the will of God, back into the hand of God, back into what God is wanting you to do. Listen, you're going to have fans, but fans are not going to do anything for you. You need somebody in your life like David had. Listen, God is the number one, but you need somebody flesh and blood that can look you in the eye and say, hey, bro, you've been living wrong and you need to get right, because there's an entire generation called Israel that is watching your lead, looking to your lead. And we need you to be the man after God's own heart. And David said, I don't feel like I am. And they're saying, doesn't matter if you feel like you are. That's what God called you. And see, that's why it's very important, church, that when we start telling people what God has said about us, that now we are held accountable by our prophetic declaration. That when you publicly say something, people around you now are going to start saying the same thing about you. And when you live less than that, they're going to call you out. One of the greatest and worst things about pastoring young people and youth is that they pull no punches and they tell you like it is. And what'd you think of tonight's service? Terrible. Didn't like it at all. No tact. But I want to encourage you. As David walked through life, he walked with an anointing. He walked with a calling that he had not yet stepped into. And so anytime that he lives below that, he has people in his life saying, hey, bro, aren't you supposed to be the man after God's own heart? Because the way you're talking doesn't sound like that. The way you're walking doesn't look like that. The way you're living doesn't resemble what God has called you to be. And I want to encourage you, embrace those people who will hold you to the standard that God calls you to be. People have been talking, and I've been just answering them as nice as I can, but as bluntly as I can. Oh, Pastor Brandon, we can't wait till small groups open back up. We need women's ministry back. We need men's ministry back. And I tell them, we got small groups that have never ended. Ushers, that's a small group you can get involved in. Greeters, that's a small group you can get involved in. You can run a camera. You can run media. You can run lighting. You can help with sound, whatever God has called you to do. And so you need people like that in your life that are going to hold you to the calling God has given you. But we give grace to David that we don't give ourselves. Don't judge my next by my now. There's a lot of times where you allow your now situation to determine and define what your next is going to be. If we looked at how David was living presently, we would say there's no way that God can use you. There's no way that God can do something in you or for you. But you cannot look at my one mistake or my bad moment or the time that you fleshed out. Listen, if you do not allow yourself to grow in those moments, you will stay. But don't let anybody paint you in a corner because of a bad day. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to rule your heart. Get up, shake the dust from your feet, and realize you've got a brand new day to start at midnight tonight. David's story really is, and we hear this a lot in documentaries, the rise and fall of David, the rise and fall of a king. But I love David's story because David's story is really the rise, the fall, the rise again, the fall again, the rise, the rise, the rise, the fall, the fall, the fall. It really looks like our life. It really looks like, man, I had a good 3 months and then I just fleshed out for 2 weeks. Don't allow your fleshing out in 2 weeks to undo the great 3 months that you had. Don't allow the 2 weeks to become 2 months or the 2 months to become 2 years. Like David, get your praise on and realize I made a mistake, but I'm coming back. I made a mistake, but I'm going to praise God into my mistake. I'm going to worship God into my mess. David's story is really the rise, the fall, the rise again of a king. When you read Acts chapter 13, I found this interesting. When you read it, you pick it up in verse 15. David is talking, I'm sorry, Paul is in the presence of the synagogue rulers and they're teaching, and they taught everything from the first 5 books of the Bible, and then they look to Paul. It's a great story that I really not picked up on until I read the context of the entire account. They looked to Paul after they got through with Genesis through Deuteronomy, and they said, Paul, do you have anything that you would like to say? Would you like to exhort everybody who is here on this Sunday morning? And the King James Version said like this, if you have something to say, Paul, exhort them. And this is what they said, say on, preach on. Paul gets up, and in just a matter of moments, Paul picks up from the end of Deuteronomy, takes them all the way through Judges, takes them all the way through everything, the king and Samuel and King David, and all, which is where we get the man after God's own heart, is where we get the epitaph that he served his generation. But in just a few minutes, Paul tells the entire story of the Old Testament, tells the entire gospel story of Jesus Christ. In the middle of his exhortation, he gives the greatest comment and the greatest obituary of the Bible. In verse 22, he says, David is a man after God's own heart, in verse 26, he says, or 36, he says, David served his generation. David's sin didn't affect his will to serve. That's where I think we miss it. If we get to the place where we're always looking at our faults and our failures, we'll never do anything. When I get good enough, I'm going to give my life to God. Never happened. When I get my life together, I'm going to start serving at church. It will never happen. You've got to, in spite of what you're facing, in spite of what you're feeling, like David, you have to find ways to serve your generation. Serve in spite of the pain, church. Serve in spite of the strife that you might be dealing with. Serve in spite of the political climate. Serve in spite of the pandemic. Serve in spite of sin. Serve in spite of everything that is going on in your life. Somebody say serve. His obituary just said this: David served his generation. We didn't hear about Goliath. We didn't hear about the bear and the lion. We didn't hear about all of the great moments of David's life. At the end, it was all taken down to one statement: David served his generation. What would your obituary sound like? I've read some doozies. This week, I just looked through funny obituaries, awkward obituaries, things that said the number one thing in one woman's obituary: she loved to garden. 88 years? And that's the epitaph of your life? Not that you were a person after God's heart, not that you had the King of Kings sitting on your heart. The epitaph to your life was you were good with a spade. You were good with seeds. Somebody enjoyed your pickled okra. That's good, but it ain't God. I read another one that said, it said he was a big fan of the Houston Astros. Really? With everything going on in the world, you lived 90 years, and the epitaph to your life was you loved a sports team who doesn't know who you are and who has been losers for most of their entire existence, but for one year that they cheated to win the World Series. Hey, we're in San Antonio, y'all. It's all right. Houston's that way, 230 miles. Another one I saw, she was known for her chocolate chip cookie. That's great. You lived your life. You made it through the Great Depression. You made it through all of the craziness of life, World War II, Vietnam. And at the end of your life, they said, man, she made a good cookie. So does the Great American Cookie Company. So does Chip Ahoy. So does Oreo. So do the Keebler Elves. Saw one that said he was a great mechanic. That's a good skill to have. But it doesn't do anything for kingdom. Doesn't do anything for God. Unless you're helping people in the church fix their cars. You're getting the buses going so we can have Sunday school ministry and we can reach out. Now, that's the way you can use it, but that's not how his was. He just tinkered with cars, and that's what they just labeled him. He's a good mechanic. At the end of my life, at the end of your life, I want to be known for what I did for kingdom, what I did for family, what I did for my world. Not that I was a diehard Cowboys fan who have been losers now for 25 years. Not that I've been a Spurs fan diehard who will be losers for the next 25 years. And somebody amen that way too hard. Not that I enjoyed real estate and all those things. I want mine to say exactly what David said. He served his family, served his generation, he served the kingdom. And if that's what I want my obituary to read, then I work backwards and I make my life match that sentiment. I wake up saying, God, how can I serve my generation for you today? God, how can I serve my family for you today? God, how can I make an imprint in the community for you today? All of those things make me have a heart after God, because the only way that I'm going to do what God calls me to do is for there to be a heart transplant and me get the heart of God, so that I don't look at race. Come on. I don't look at gender. I don't look at all the other things that we're separated by. I don't look at the political climate. I don't look at the economic climate, and I look to everybody and say, God, if you want me to serve, you show me somewhere to serve, and God, that's where I'm going to serve. I want to have a heart after God's own heart. At the end of your life, and I know it's a morbid thought, at the end of your life, what do you want your obituary to say? Find out what you want them to say about you at your funeral. Find out what you want the Express News and that two paragraphs that talk about your life. Find out what you want it to say, and then live your life in such a way that it matches where you want to be. Yesterday, I watched the funeral of a friend of mine. Father unexpectedly passed on Tuesday. They had Holy Ghost Church at his funeral. I didn't hear one hobby of this man. And he had a few, I'm sure. I didn't hear of how much money he had accrued. But speaker after speaker, some of them his children, some of them his peers, some of them from his church, they talked about what a man of God he was, and how he would go and he would hit the streets preaching, how he would go door to door knocking doors. That is the epitaph. That is the obituary that you want. You want, when we stand at the end of your earthly life and say, listen, they were a lot of things, but the one thing that they were all about was Jesus. When you talk to them for more than 15 seconds, you got Jesus. When you are around them, you got Jesus. You got his word. You felt his spirit. 1 Samuel 16 in closing. We'll pick up next week where we leave off. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. That's the NIV. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? I've rejected him as king of Israel. Fill your horn with oil. Be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. God does his choosing for promotion, not based on ability. And I'm gonna go back a little bit, because I've always said that God is looking for availability more than he's looking for ability. I've got one that trumps both of those. God is looking for someone that has his heart. Because I know a whole lot of unemployed people that are available that still ain't doing nothing. And my heart goes out to, if you don't have a job right now, what I would do is I would, about 4 hours a day, put in applications. And another couple hours a day, I'd pray. And another couple hours a day, I'd come up here and volunteer at the church. Oh, you're just trying to get free volunteers. No, I'm trying to find people that have a heart after God. Because I promise you, you do those things. You put out applications, you pray, you serve. You're going to have 10 jobs. You're going to have to choose from one. You're going to choose one from them. He said, I'm done with Saul, which means there's a void. He said, I'm going to fill that void, not with the strongest, not with the best looking, not with the one who has been primed and grew up ready for this. I'm going to fill that void with a little boy called David. I'm sure Samuel's, who's David belong to? He's Jesse's youngest son. Well, that's not really the king-type family. I know. I don't even remember ever seeing David. How old is David? Oh, he's about 16. Well, I'm sure he's like 6'8", 260 pounds. Looks like Thor, ready to lead this military, ready to lead this nation. God said, nope, doesn't look anything like that. Don't look on the outward appearance. Look at the heart. And when you see his heart, you'll see my heart. Let's flip that. When you see my heart, you'll find the man who fills the void to be promoted to the king. Can I encourage somebody today, if you're looking for promotion? When I'm talking about promotion, I might not be talking about jobs. I'm talking about to level up in your life. God is not looking for a certain color, a certain age. He's not looking for somebody that necessarily grew up in church. He's not looking for somebody who has a perfect record. He's looking for somebody that when he looks at their heart, he sees his heart. And then he sends men and women of God who are prophets that know what the heart of God looks like. And then they start looking at our hearts and they say, I found one that looks like God. And when they find one that looks like God, promotion starts happening. Your life starts elevating. Your life starts mattering. Your life has meaning now. Everyone's standing on their feet today. As we lay the groundwork for this series, I feel such a strong, strong call for repentance, for getting our hearts right. You see all this stuff going on in Portland, Seattle, Austin, our very own city at some points. Heart issues. Heart issues. You see police officers killing for no reason, innocent men and women. Heart issues. You see hate being spewed on Facebook. Heart issues. When we get our heart right, when we get our heart right, our nation will level up. See, the problem is politicians never have the right heart. They have good minds sometimes, but don't have good hearts. That's where the church comes in, because we have the heart of God. That's why I want to help you dream a little bit today before I pray with those in this altar right now. I want to help you dream. There's people in here that should be running for city council because you have the right heart. You have the right heart. You say, "That's I'm not really educated for that." You've got the right heart, and God's calling you. God's calling church. God's calling believers to start taking these positions so that we can start making laws that bring us closer to God's heart, closer to God's will, instead of further apart. I know this is not the only family here, and this is a great family. Talked to them yesterday. They encouraged me yesterday. I messaged them to encourage them. They encouraged me yesterday. Here they come. They're still coming. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Newlyweds. Newlyweds coming. Just got married this last week. God bless you. Newlyweds coming. Families are coming. Here they come.